Welcome to Calvary Church, where we are dedicated to loving God and loving people. If you want to know more about us, please check us out online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
Welcome to Calvary Karaoke today. We're going to start this every year at this time of the year. It's great to have you today on December 1, brand new month, brand new Christmas series called A Thrill of Hope. We're excited for what's to come as we move through this season of Advent together. Now, when you came in today, you heard a little bit about this, but you would find something like this on your seat. This is exactly this. This is an invitation to our Thrill of Hope Grand Celebration services coming up on December the 22nd and December the 24th. You are not going to want to miss these. These are invitations not specifically for you, but for you to give away to other people. So invite your friends, your family, your neighbors, your bus driver, the person at the drive-thru at Tim Hortons, your barista, Starbucks, your girlfriend, your boyfriend, your ex-girlfriend, your Uber driver, not yet, but soon, right? To the Thrill of Hope. It's going to be a fantastic, fantastic year as we fill this place up full of people that need to know Christ, that maybe have never come to church before. So we want to encourage all of you to be a part of inviting people. This is one of our greatest opportunities at Christmas to extend an invitation to share the hope of Christ that we have in our hearts with other people. And so on December the 22nd will be our Thrill of Hope Christmas Spectacular in all our services. There'll be holiday music, singing, dancing, got our dance team coming, some drama. The kids will be up here, all kinds of festive surprises that you are not going to want to miss. It's really a whole production three times over the course of Sunday morning on the 22nd. And I would encourage you to come early because these services will fill up quickly. Even though they're free, people will come early to get kind of a best seat. And then on Tuesday, December the 24th, is our legendary Calvary Candlelight Christmas Eve services. These are incredibly memorable services that people look forward to every year. And this auditorium will be filled with candlelight. And regardless of what the weatherman says on the outside, make sure you let the kids know that it will always snow inside here at Calvary on Christmas Eve. And so again, admission is free. Make sure that you give away those invitations and let's believe God for people to come out and experience the thrill of hope for themselves. Now also on your seat, you'll see one of these red prayer cards. This one is for you to hang on to. Keep it in your Bible, put it on your fridge, do whatever you got to do. There's five blanks for five names of five people that you are praying to invite and to bring. And you know what? When you invite someone, tell them you'll meet them here. Tell them you'll come a little early. You'll sit with them. Tell them you'll take them out to lunch afterwards. Do whatever you got to do to bring them, because we believe we're going to reach the lost at any cost. Taking people out to lunch is a small price to pay. Picking them up when you consider the fact that their lives could change for eternity. So if you've got five empty spots for five names, that means you should probably try to take at least five invitations. And so today on the way out, we'll have ushers at all three doors that will have some invitations. I think there was a run on our invitations at our very first service, and most of them were taken. And so we're printing more. So if there's not enough for you to take today, there's plenty more coming, and you can pick them up at the office this week or next Sunday when we're exiting the service at the same time. So you can pick up more invitations. Better to have more than not enough. Keep them in your car, because every now and then you'll come across somebody that you didn't think of and you'll go, oh, hey, you should come out to church on Christmas. And many people that I've talked to when it comes to this time of the year say, well, I've never been invited to church before. Now, that's hard to believe in this day, but it's true. And so don't forget, this is not just to design some amazing Christmas entertainment for you and your family, although you will love every ounce of it. But this is an opportunity for you at this time of the year to reach out. And so as we work towards the 22nd, towards that big service, let's work on it together. Now, before we continue, on behalf of Pastor Susan and myself, we want to thank you, on behalf of our entire pastoral team, for your generosity to us last week at Pastor Appreciation Sunday. It blesses me more than you know to honor our team and our families and to set aside a Sunday where you can be a tangible blessing to us. Many of you have said wonderful things and really encouraged us along the way. And we are blessed to lead and to serve our Calvary family. And it's really one of the great joys of our lives. So thank you again. All right, we're talking about hope this season, this entire month. We're looking at something that we all need, which is hope. It's that confident expectation of great things to come. It's kind of like a vacation that you plan and you look forward to. You set a date, you save up your money, you get ready, and then you jump on a plane and you go somewhere. Now, part of the fun, clearly, is going, right? It's getting on a plane and leaving, going maybe to somewhere warm or somewhere that's adventurous and fun to have lots of tasty treats and good times. But part of the fun is also the planning of that vacation, right? It's the getting ready for it. It's the waiting, the anticipation of what's to come. And so as we step into Advent, we're stepping into a season of anticipation, of confident hope that as we work towards the 24th, we're celebrating the birth of our Savior. And I believe this Christmas, God wants to restore the thrill of hope to each one of our lives and for some to experience it for the very first time. And we're living in a weary world sometimes that needs something to rejoice in. And so we're looking forward to celebrating on Christmas, but also making that message known to everyone, the hope of all ages. Everyone needs to have some light in the darkness. Isaiah 9:2 says, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned." And it is that light in our hearts that changes everything. All right, let's jump into the Word of God today. If you've got your Bibles, turn to it. If you've got a Bible app, open that up. And let's turn and look at the book of Ephesians together. We're going to look at the first chapter, starting in verse 15. We're going to read right through to verse 18. Paul says this in Ephesians. He says, "Ever since I first heard of your strong faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for God's people everywhere, I have not stopped thanking God for you. I pray for you constantly, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight, so that you might grow in your knowledge of God." I think that prayer right there that Paul just prayed should be the prayer of every pastor for his church. It certainly is mine for all of you, praying that God would strengthen you, give you wisdom, give you insight, that you would know him more. And then Paul goes on and says, "I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light." Usually when we hear the word flood, we're not impressed because it has to do with water coming in where it should not. And in a rainy part of the world, there are many people that have experienced that. But there's something about a flood. When water comes in, it literally goes everywhere. It goes into every crack and every crevice. And the same is true of light. When light floods a room, darkness is dispelled. That light goes into every crack, every crevice. And the flooding of light into a dark place brings a new environment. And so here the Bible paints this picture that our hearts, where there is dark areas within our lives, that our hearts would be flooded with light. And that's really what we're believing for those that you're inviting this month to come to our grand celebration services, so that you can understand, listen, the confident hope that he has given to those he's called. So the promise of God to those he's called, to you and I, is confident hope. Not just any kind of hope, confident hope. And we are, the Bible says, his holy people, who are his rich and glorious inheritance. You know, I love this time of the year because of all the Christmas lights. People are putting them up on their homes. You see them in the church inside and outside. It just looks incredible. Brings some magic to the air. And light is an incredible thing. But every time I see it, I'm reminded of the light that really changed my life. The light that illuminated the dark parts of who I am and brought hope to places where there was none. And so God is still doing that. He's doing that in your life, and he wants to work in and through your life to spread that light to other people. So this morning I want to start our series with a message that I'm calling Hope Promised. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you today for your word, for the hope that has been promised to us. We pray that each of us would experience the thrill of hope in our lives. Restore to us that thrill once again and help us to spread the good news so that those who are in darkness would experience that same thrill and that same lighting of their lives. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You know, today I think that if we had time to sit down together and talk one-on-one, that as adults, if we shared our Christmas experiences, they would likely be very different all over the board, depending on where we're from, what cultures we celebrate. But I think if we were to also then share some of our experiences as children, we would find that there was a lot more common ground in those stories. Because as kids at this time of the year, it's kind of like this agonizing wait for a day that seems to never come soon enough. In my house, and some of you may be the same, we had those little, my mother would get those little Advent calendars, right? And I can't say that it was all about Jesus for me back then. It was about opening those tiny doors to get that piece of chocolate out of there before my sister did. And so each of us would kind of race to see who would get up first, open that little door, grab that chocolate. But every time we walked by it, we could see the progress. We could see how close we were getting. But as kids, it never came quick enough. You know, we're halfway there. Ah, we got so much more waiting to do. It's this agony of waiting forever, being so impatient where, you know, the big day is kind of in the distance. And it seemed like as it got closer, things would like go into slow motion. It's like we're only 3 days before Christmas, and why does it seem like these 3 days are 3 weeks? But as kids, that's kind of the feeling that we had. Now, if you contrast that to how we're feeling as adults, when somebody said to me last week, it's only 3.5 weeks till Christmas. And I'm like, what? How is that possible? I've got so much to do, so little time to do it. How is it possible that it's 3.5 weeks away? And so the older we get, it seems time speeds up. The younger we are, it seems that that date can't come quick enough. You know, one thinks it's too slow, one thinks it's too fast, and you know, it's like the kids in the back seat on a road trip. Are we there yet? Is it Christmas yet? Is it blah, blah, blah? And it never seems to come quick enough. And yet we want to slow it all down. Let's just slow this train down. We seem to be speeding along. But the good news is that whether it seems too fast or too slow, it always came right on time, right? December the 25th always showed up, regardless of what people's perception was. And there was this promise of the thrill and certainty of Christmas morning when it came. And there was also this great anticipation that if you look back in time, look back in Scripture, leading up to that first Christmas, as God's people waited even then like we wait today. But they waited not for 24 days or 25 days. They waited for hundreds of years. Now, that had to be very difficult. Doesn't matter how many Advent calendars, you got generations that are coming and going, and they're still waiting, passing on stories from one generation to the next. And so their thrill of hope back then has helped shape ours. What happened then changes everything in our lives now as we also wait. And regardless of what we accumulate or accomplish in this lifetime, it all pales in comparison to the hope that we find only in Christ. Hope that was first given to us and that now we're expected by God to share with other people. Hope is a powerful spiritual force that's activated through our faith in God's ability to help us live the life that He intends for us to live. And through life's storms, it's His hope that keeps us secure. It's that hope that is a confident expectation because it's anchored into something that's immovable. This confident hope assures us that it's going to be okay. I don't know about you, but as a parent, as a husband, as a pastor, there are many times when the things that you plan and think through are not always happening the way that you had hoped. And there's people that you love that you want to see things happen in their life, and it doesn't seem to happen quite the way that you think it should sometimes. And so sometimes you need to listen to the Spirit of God whispering in your ear saying, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Keep that confident hope that assures you that God is still with you, and He's going to see you through this troubling time, even if this troubling time looks like it could literally draw the life from you. This confident hope assures us that in those moments, He'll see us through. Just like it says in Hebrews 6:19, it says, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. Did you know that the greatest sickness that we have and that we face today isn't the sickness of the body, it's the sickness of the soul. Proverbs says that when your hope is deferred, when you lack it, that it literally makes your heart sick. I want you to know today that as a church, you are a blessing to this community. You're a blessing to this nation, and you're a blessing to this world. And whether you feel it or not, God wants to restore to you the thrill of hope, what he's done in your life. And he wants you to experience, not just on Christmas Day or Christmas Eve when you're feeling warm and fuzzy and everybody's got a candle. And it's every day. God wants you to have that hope that gets you through some of the toughest times. Something that we can anchor to hang on to when the wind picks up and the waves are smacking us in the face. Those are the tough times that when everything else seems to be shaking, that God can still keep you in place. Jesus came to do what only Jesus can do. God came down and he became one of us so that he could live like us, die for us, and live again through us. Christmas is really God's solution to our deepest struggles. But here's the catch. Christmas is still all about the waiting. This season that we're stepping into is historically known as Advent. Advent actually means coming. So Christmas is the celebration of Jesus coming or his arrival. But his arrival was not without waiting. In fact, God made a promise to Adam and Eve. You heard Vince refer to it earlier, that one of their descendants would actually crush the head of Satan. No pressure, right? You're going to have descendants that are doctors and lawyers and preschool teachers and bus drivers, and one of them, he's going to crush the head of Satan. So no pressure. As the Messiah comes into the world, there's great expectation for who he is and what he will accomplish. And God made a promise to Israel, to his people, that there would someday be a Messiah, a king, a hero who would rescue his people. But listen, after hundreds of years, God's people were still waiting. Promises were made, but were not yet fulfilled. Did God mislead them, or was it simply a matter of waiting? God invited his people not just to wait, but to wait with confident hope. Hope that is an eager expectation. Hope is waiting with the assurance that what we're waiting for will someday come true. That the arrival of Christ at Christmas is the fulfillment of hope. And it's the fulfillment of a promise. So today we celebrate God's faithfulness as we begin this season, move towards understanding what his goodness is all about. And I think we're reminded that God will always, always, always come through with his promises. And yet here we are. The truth is, 2,000 years or more later, we're still waiting. We're waiting for Jesus to come back again someday. And we're in that season of knowing the truth, but knowing that it's not here yet. And in the midst of it, life is challenging. We're experiencing the reality of that struggle with relational hurt, with disease, with family drama, financial pressure, with depression, with addiction, with abuse. The struggle is very, very real. But so is the very real hope that we have in him to see us through all of those things, and even the things that I didn't list. Will God fulfill his promise? Can we still have hope? These are questions that they asked then, and we're still asking now. God, are you going to get me through this? Because I don't know how it's even possible. This season of Advent is meant to stoke the flames of hope in our hearts once again and to restore that thrill within us. You know, there's an interesting relationship between thrill and risk. Whether it's the world's biggest roller coaster or water slide, there's an element of like risking your life for the sake of this thrill that will literally last seconds. But the truth is, the thrill that we experience of the hope of Christmas also involves some risk. It's laying your life down and putting your faith in someone who you can't tangibly wrap your arms around sometimes unless it's his church. But you take a risk. You take a risk of being ridiculed or misunderstood. You take a risk of taking a stand for something that you believe. But that risk is worth the thrill of knowing that the hope of Christ within you will see you through each and every one of those situations in your life. And no matter what's going on externally or internally, we need to fix our hearts on the incredible gift that is Jesus. And when we do this, we will experience his life-sustaining, life-giving thrill of hope. Now, my challenge for all of you today as we journey through Advent together is to tap into the sources that God provides of overflowing, confident hope. So that we, in turn, can take that hope that not just fills us, but fills us to overflowing, so that we can reach out and love the world and extend that hope to others. So let me give you three sources of overflowing promised hope. The first one is God's promise, or presence, sorry. God's presence. Now, this one is kind of difficult to articulate at times because there's something almost unexplainable about spending time in the presence of God. That's what a thrill of hope is really all about. It's experiencing Him. Being in the presence of God will always, and I mean underline it, capitalize it, it will always change you. It will transform you. Anytime you're in His presence, you will be changed. He will anchor you. He will fill you with hope. And it, in my life, when it feels like hell is breaking loose around me, that's my go-to source of hope. Abiding in His presence. There's absolutely nothing that compares to it. And so for me, I've got a pretty active imagination. And so when I'm going through a tough time, whether it's in life, with family, with marriage, with church, whatever it may be, it's like a door appears in my life. And I imagine that door as a crossing over point, that as I stand in the storm and I'm feeling beaten up by the storm, that a door God provides for me appears in my life. But it still is up to me to make a decision to turn the handle, open the door, and walk through it, to walk out of the storm and into peace. And for some of you, that may not look glorious. Maybe it means at work going through the toughest meeting of your life and feeling like you've been beat up, sent through a wood chipper, and spit out on the other side. Maybe it's walking down the hall and stepping into the broom closet, or going into the stall in the washroom and just taking a deep breath and saying, okay, God, I need to spend some time with You in this moment. I need Your peace to come over me. And like, just like I said, it's like that door. You open it up, you walk through, you go from this dimension into a God dimension where He sees you through those troubling times, no matter where you are, whether it's in traffic on the way to work, whether it's home in the middle of a dispute with your kids or your spouse, whether it's at work with the most pressure-filled situation that you could ever find. You can find His peace if you step through that door. The psalmist David said it like this in Psalm 62:5, "Find rest, O my soul, in God alone." In God alone. You know, we go to a lot of things to get our rest. We go to vacations, and again, I'm not knocking vacation. I love a good vacation. But vacation alone is not the solution to your rest. It's not swiping away 2 hours on TikTok that's going to give you the rest that you need or will last. The devil will give you all kinds of opportunities to waste your time. There's a million of them out there. And getting an extra drink at the Christmas party this year of spiked eggnog is not going to see you through either, right? And by the way, we don't serve that at our board and staff Christmas party. At least, I don't think so. I hope not. But it's all those little things that in our lives have been kind of go-to elements for us to get a little bit of peace, a little bit of rest. But the Bible says that my hope only comes from Him. It's great to experience His presence every week when we come and gather as a church family. We sing these great songs, but you know what? The band is not always there. The preaching is not always there. The people are not always there. Sometimes it's you, yourself, and you just sitting there in the dark, feeling all the feelings, feeling overwhelmed, feeling frustrated, feeling angry, feeling all the feelings, right? And it's in those moments that you can spend time in the presence of God and see every one of those things change. What does the Bible say? His mercies are new every single Sunday. Is that what it says? Every Sunday, every Tuesday and Sunday. No. It says His mercies are new every morning, every day. So don't dwell and think, well, you know, I had this great God time, this great presence where I was with Him last week, and then feed on that all week. No, He wants you to experience that each and every day, every moment. Don't settle for anything less than His best in your life. The Bible says they're new every morning. The second thing that confident, overflowing hope springs from is God's promise. It's His truth. It's the Word of God. That's why it's so important, so important to open your Bible every day and to read the Word of God. Even if it's just one verse, one chapter, you need to find some consistency in your life to do it. Here's the best piece of advice you will ever get from anybody on the planet that will give you success in life if you follow it. Open your Bible every day and read it. Open your Bible every single day and read it. It's so profound, it's so simple, but it's so true. every single day. You will never experience the reality of his promises unless you read them, unless you open the book up and read it. Open whatever device you have and read it. Start a reading plan. Read through the Bible in 1 year next year. Jump on board with the reading plan that we're doing right now that started today, where many of us in the church have joined YouVersion to do an Advent devotional. And there's people commenting and interacting. Be a part of community when it comes to loving the Word and falling in love with the promises that God has given us. See, when we take the time to do the things we do in life to help us, like every day we get hungry, we eat. We eat in the morning, we eat at lunchtime, we eat at dinner. We take moments to get nutrition. Why should it be any different in our spiritual lives? You need to be intentional about feeding yourselves the things that will strengthen you and help you grow in your walk with God. Confident hope springs from knowing his purpose within you. All of those things help you to grow and understand that. Psalm 119:81 says, "My soul faints," or "I've got a sick heart with longing for your salvation." But the Bible says it all changed. Why? Right here. "I have put my hope in your word." Don't put it in a person. Sometimes we think, well, if I could just find the person that would complete my life then and get married, man, all my situation will be so much better. Listen, it will help the happiness in your life. But they're not the source of your joy. You've got to find your joy in understanding your purpose, why he created you. And the only one that can do that is Jesus. And so take that time. Then jump down. It says, "I have put my hope again in your word." In verse 114 of the same chapter, it says, "You are my refuge and my shield." Listen, your word is my source of hope. Your word is my source of hope. That's the well you need to pull from each and every day. And then finally, number three, God's purpose. If you've been at Calvary for any period of time, you will realize that everything that we do in every department, young and old, points to the exact same place. It's helping you and your family become fully devoted followers of Christ. That is our mission. That is how we budget every dollar. That is how we raise up leaders. That is how we implement any kind of ministry. It's to that end. And if it doesn't, we don't do it. Because we want to stay on mission. We want to see God's purpose established in people's lives. And as disciples, as Christ followers, we're committed to that process of growth. Discipleship is not just knowing your Bible more. That's important. We just talked about the fact that you know, when you know his promises in your life, when you know his truth, it changes you. But you can't just memorize scripture and do nothing with it. The Bible is all about reading and doing. It's walking out the truth of scripture, right? That's your purpose. His promises need to be deep in your heart, but then those promises need to translate into action. You need to do something with the things that you're learning. There's many people that know the word inside out and backwards and do nothing. And God's going to look at them someday and say, What was that about? like, how is it possible for you to know so much of my truth and to do so little with it? That's why we are encouraging you to invite people, to bring them. Because we're not just looking to fill seats. We're looking to reach more people with the gospel of Jesus Christ to see lives changed forever. True discipleship is when you inside know why you've been created. That's why our growth track at the church is so important. If you feel like your life's getting on track, maybe you need to get back on track. Come to that class. 4 weeks, 1 hour each, helps you to understand the mission of our church, to use your gifts for the kingdom, to connect to community. And sometimes it's good to go back and learn the basics. You know, the greatest ballerinas in the world are required every year to go back and do their basics, to understand how to stand on point, to do the things that they learned in their basic training. Because if you lose your basic training and your form, everything else kind of, it becomes dysfunctional. And in our lives, we can get away from the basics sometimes where sometimes we're doing the right things for the wrong reasons. We need to love God with our whole heart and then to love his people as God loves his people too. Real hope is understanding our purpose. Proverbs 19:21 says, many are the plans of a person's heart. I don't know about you, but I've got a lot of plans. And sometimes I have to yield them to him because it says, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. Jeremiah 29:11, one that's very popular. Here it is in the Message translation. This is God speaking to you. I know what I'm doing. I have it all planned out. Plans to take care of you, not to abandon you. Plans to give you the future you hope for. So even in the silence, when it seems like God isn't even there, you need to know he is working behind the scenes. He is working beneath the surface, orchestrating his plans and his purpose for our lives. And in the season of waiting, leading up to Christmas that we've started today, it builds within us that hope that God is going to come through again. So whatever it is you're facing today, know that as sure as God has seen you through in the past, he will see you through again. The hope of Christmas tells us that God's plan and purpose for our lives will always prevail. And at the center of our thrill for hope is this confident, overflowing hope that we have in Christ, so that we in turn can not just be topped up like we're plugging in our Tesla at a charging station, but that what we've been filled with can be poured out like Jesus all over again to a lost and needy world. To let the light that shines in you, just like all these beautiful lights at Christmas time, to let that light shine in a dark place. Some of your friends, some of your neighbors, some of your family are navigating some dark spaces right now in their life. You can make a difference. All you have to do is share your story. Invite someone to church. Let them be exposed to the light and let their life be transformed. Let's pray this morning. Father, we thank you today for your spirit at work in our lives. We pray that Father God, that the thrill of hope would be restored to each and every one of us, and that it would become a reality for those that don't even know you. And may your promised hope today see us through the day, to know that we are walking in your purpose and your plan for our lives, and we would abide in your promises and your truth, and your plan would be fulfilled within us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.